Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Bring you greetings from the McGackiesville Congregation, Southeastern Conference. I'm not used to this many people. Probably about 100 less. So I come to you in meekness and in fear and much trembling. For a message this morning, turn with me to Psalm 96. I want to use this as a basis for the message. We have here a praise psalm, and yet there's much we can learn from this. And it's interesting here how the psalmist often praised the Lord for what he had done. Now I want to read this psalm at this time, and then I'll come back to it and we'll look a little closer at it. Psalm 96 says, "O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth." I want to look this morning at the fear of God. I was contemplating here a title, and I was thinking of the consequences of not fearing God, but that kind of gives it a more negative connotation. But I want to look here at the fear of God. It's a feeling of reverence or awe, and that of respect toward God. Now, as children fear many things. Some of them fear the dark. Some of them fear loud noises. What do you fear? Now, in our school annual, they always list some of the things, especially with the new teachers. One of the questions is, what do you fear most about teaching or as a teacher? And I'm sure we have a number of teachers here this morning, or former teachers. One of the things I thought was interesting was one of the things that they feared most, it was usually parent-teacher conferences or a child getting sick. That's what they feared the most. What do you fear? Number of questions I want to ask us this morning. Do I fear God? not being afraid of God, but having that reverential awe toward God. Another question could be, why do some people not fear God? We see people that do not fear God. It's evident by the lives they live. And we could ask ourselves, what are the results if I don't fear God? Back a number of years ago, I think it was the Egyptian president was trying to retain his post. The elections were coming up. There was a lot of unrest in Egypt. And Mohamed Morsi, Morsi, said, "I fear no one but God." And so why fear God? That's my first point. Notice here from Psalm 96, it says, "Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day." We need to fear God because of the salvation he gives to us. It's interesting there in verse 9 where he says, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth." That word fear means tremble. Do you tremble before God? If we lose that, we've lost it. Another reason we need to fear God is because of who he is. It says, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." The Lord is great. Notice there, the word Lord is in capital letters. Is he Lord of your life? Not only that he is God, but is he Lord? Does he control your life? It's part of dying to self. It's because of who God is. Go to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42, I want to start reading here verse 5. Notice here he talks about God being the creator. Isaiah 42, starting at verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord God, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." So if you go back to Psalm 96, notice there what he says in verse 5, "All of the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." There is no other God. except the Lord God. The Lord God. There is none other. Another reason we need to fear God is because He is the Creator. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. How many times did you try to create a document? Maybe you were writing notes. Of course, most of you probably type yours. You were writing something, or maybe you were making something, and you get so frustrated, you grab that paper, crinkle it all up, throw it away. That's what God can do to us, if He pleases. The Lord made the heavens. It's kind of noisy around here Friday evening with the storm. In fact, we were in Waterloo, and I told Ronald and Joyce that I think I'm going to rename Waterloo Waterlogged. It's pretty wet. The Lord made the rain. The Lord made the thunder and the lightning. Another reason we need to fear God is because God is worthy of our praise. And we have that here in verses 6 through 9. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord the glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. He is due our praise. And if we don't have the proper fear of God, we will not praise Him as we ought. Go to Exodus chapter 19. My mind went here as Moses gathered the people here before he gave the Ten Commandments. They gathered them here, and I don't have time to read much here, but I want to read here a couple verses. Now I'll start at verse 16. They were told to gather themselves together and be ready. And in verse 16 says, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended up as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly." Now, if you read earlier in this chapter, they were to set bounds around the mount. Man or beast wasn't to cross that bound, or they were going to be dead. This is the Lord God that they were coming to meet. Would we fall down and worship if we saw smoke coming off the mountain as we gathered to worship? God is worthy of our praise. Another reason we need to fear God is because God reigns. He is not only God, but God reigns. We have that in Psalm 96, verses 10 through 12. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Do we say among the heathen that the Lord reigns? Do people know who we serve? Do people know that we serve God? Go over to Psalm 97, verse 1. It says, "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof." And then in 99, Psalm 99, verse 1. "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubim, let the earth be moved." The word "moved" means be shaken. You know, sometimes we refer to instances where we are shaken in our boots. Well, we need to be trembling at the presence of God. Not because we are afraid of Him, but because He is in control of our lives and of the universe. Another reason we need to fear Him is because He is our judge. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever gone to court or not, but if you are pleading your case, how do you come to the judge? Do you come in there boisterous and laughing and loud? Or do you come in there in fear? Now notice there in verse 13. Now I'm not sure why they made the break where they did in that verse, because the first phrase of 13 is part of the thought in verse 12. But it says, For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Righteousness and truth. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. 14. It speaks here of the eyes of God, and it says, "His head and his hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire." Did you ever converse with somebody that was irate, and it was almost like flames were coming out of their eyes? I had a boss one time that said that every time he talked to somebody, this one person, I don't know, apparently he was a very shrewd businessman, but he said it was almost like the old-fashioned cash registers where you could see the dollar signs going through his eyeballs. Here he speaks of eyes of fire. God's judgment speaks of fire. Or fire speaks of God's judgment. And so that we need to reverence God, because He is our judge. We need to have a fear of God because of what He can do. Not only as our judge, but the mighty, mighty works that He did. And as it's interesting, as we go through Scripture, time and time and time again, He refers to the wonderful works that He did when He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Ecclesiastes 12. I have part of that verse written down, but I want to get the whole thought. Go to Ecclesiastes 12. Verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Everything into judgment. And he will judge righteously. We have that in another place in Scripture. He will judge righteously. Fear God and keep his commandments. The two go hand in hand. Are we fearing God? Another verse from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Here it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, how do you balance the two thoughts here? Of fearing God and coming boldly. Coming boldly don't mean arrogant. The word means confidently. And in this verse, you need to look at the whole book of Hebrews, because he's speaking of the better things, the better sacrifice, a better priesthood. And it's because of these things that we can come boldly, confidently, in the fear of God. Says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's almost like it's a reference to coming to him in reverence and fear. Now I want to look a little bit at those in Scripture who did not fear God and what happened to those people. First one is in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. I want to go through these. If you want to just listen, that's fine. We'll go through these rather quickly. Those who did not fear God. We have Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, and this is what it says. This was when Moses came to him, and God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. We know what happened to Pharaoh and his army. He did not fear God. Next one was in Leviticus chapter 10. We have here the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. And this is what it says about them in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. It says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered the strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Here, they offered strange fire. They offered the sacrifice. And God slew them immediately. Another one was Saul in 1 Samuel 13. Verses 13 and 14. This was when he also offered a sacrifice. Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." So Saul lost his kingship because of what he had did here. And it was interesting here how Saul blamed Samuel for not coming. He said, "Well, it's your fault. You didn't come in time. I was scared of the Philistines, and so I offered the sacrifice." Well, my mom used to always say, two wrongs never make one right. Two wrongs never make one right. Was it wrong to worship God? No. But it was wrong for Saul to offer the sacrifice. One more yet. 1 Samuel 2. We have Eli's sons. It's interesting. A number of these issues are pretty much the same, focused around the same incident. Okay? That of offering sacrifice. But here we have Eli's sons in chapter 2, verses 30 to 34. I'll start at verse 29. "Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house, and that thou shalt not see an enemy, and thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age." How would you like that for the prediction of your future? Now let's go to those who feared God and why they feared God. First one I think of is Job. Satan came to Job and said, "There's a reason, God, that Job worships you." And he says, "You put a hedge about him. You protected him. You gave him everything he has." I thought that was interesting. Satan recognized that. But he said, "Take that away and see what happens." Notice here in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1, "The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught?" Does he fear him for nothing? Job had a relationship with God that Satan could not touch him. He had a reverence for God. The next one I have is Noah in Hebrews 11. Thought it was interesting as we look at the heroes of faith and what put them in the book of heroes of faith. Hebrews 11 verse 7 says this, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." He moved with fear. Not a fear of not getting the ark done in time. Not a fear of not being able to get two of each of the animals. But a fear or this reverence for God that what he said he would do. He moved with fear. Being warned of things not seen as yet. Now, if he'd had weather like we had here the last week, that would make sense to build an ark, right? Here it had never rained. He moved with fear. He moved with a reverence that God would perform what he had promised him. Going over to verses 17 through 19 of Hebrews 11. We have another hero of faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, how much sense did this make to Abraham? Here, he finally got his promised son. And more than likely, Isaac was a teenager. It says, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. Accounting that God was able to raise him up. And if you look at the life of Abraham, he come from a land and a setting of idolatry. And yet he feared God. Another one was Jacob in Genesis 28. Some time ago, somebody that was named Jacob said, well, yeah, he don't like being called Jacob because he thinks of all the bad things that Jacob did and all the subtle things and the sly things that he did, that Jacob did. But notice here, in Genesis 28, verses 16 and 17, Jacob awaked out of his sleep. This was when he had the vision of the ladder going from earth to heaven. He awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon it, upon the top of it. This was the house of God. That's what he called it here. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. He worshiped God there. He had a fear of God and a reverence for him. And then one more yet, we have Joseph. Well, actually a couple more here yet. Joseph in Genesis 39, notice what he says here when he was tempted of Potiphar's wife. Genesis 39, verse 9. This was Joseph's response when Potiphar's wife came to him numerous times. It says, "There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph had a fear of God. He had a reverence for God that kept him in the hour of temptation. And when we are tempted, that must be our response. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Yes, it was against Potiphar. It was against Potiphar's wife. But it was against God. He recognized that. Of course, we have the account of Daniel, how he continued to go and pray even though the petition was signed. He had more fear of God than he did of man. We must never lose that. Also, the midwives of Egypt. I'll just mention this one. This is in Exodus 1, 17 to 21. When they were commanded to kill all the babies, the midwives feared God. That's why Moses was still alive. One reason why Moses was still alive. Go look that up. They feared God. Now I want to look at a few other scriptures here yet, and I'll just go over these rather quickly. I have them printed off here. It's actually from the New King James Version. Just for the sake of time, I'll go through these rather quickly, but in these scriptures, I want us to notice what the fear of the Lord does and how the fear of the Lord expresses itself in our lives. Notice here, now I'll just read the scripture and then I'll read, some of them aren't even a whole verse, just a phrase of a verse. 2 Chronicles 20:29, it says, "And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of the Israel." Now, the enemies of Israel feared God. They really did, because of how he took care of the children of Israel. They feared them. 2 Chronicles 19:7 and also in 19:9, it says, "Now therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you." This was during Jehoshaphat's reforms when he went in and basically cleaned house. And it says, "And he commanded them, saying, Thus shall ye act in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a loyal heart." Job 28:28. "To man he said, Behold the fear of the Lord, this is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." The fear of the Lord, Psalm 19:9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Psalm 34:11. "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Psalm 111:10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 8:13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate." Proverbs 10:27. "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." Proverbs 14:26. "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and the children will have a place of refuge." Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to avoid the snares of death. Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 16:6, and by the fear of the Lord one departs from evil. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 23:17, do not let your heart envy sinners, but in the fear of the Lord continue all day. Isaiah 33:6, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. And so we have a number of verses here about the fear of the Lord and what it can do and how it affects our lives. Do you feel the fear of the Lord? Do you have that reverential awe as the saints of old did? And how that can direct our lives. There's one more verse I want to read yet, and that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Shall we kneel for prayer?